Brother Robert Turner. The Lord be with you, Brother Robert.
Again, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to even come among you. I enjoyed that comment and prayer, song service, how beautiful it is. It just sets the tone for everything when you have hearts singing together, praying, all looking to the God that we all look to. I often thought about, think about it a lot, and we get in our mind, in our mindset, that we start thinking that, you know, what's going on? It is a trying world we live in. And we can all, there's not a single one of us sitting in here from the oldest to the very youngest, will take time to look back and look back on something that we once enjoyed and loved, and I don't see it that way anymore. You know, we kind of look at things and you know, and then we look to the future and we don't see that. You know, we don't see it. You know, well, I'm here to tell you today that the God in heaven, our future is bright. What we have in store for us is over. I have not the mind power or the vocabulary to even explain to you what God has in store for us. Now you take that and apply it to your life. And that's the part, Brother Stan, that we have a hard time with. Our Father in heaven, who has promised us mercy and promised us so much, and we try to look at the world through colored glasses or the doom and gloom glass or whatever. Whatever. But I'm telling you this day that the same God that you're thinking about as a child, or the same God that your grandparents talked about when the house was full, the same God that said, let it, spoke it, is the same today. There is absolutely no difference in God. There's absolutely wonderful things in store for His people. But in saying that, we have a task and a job to do. Eternal salvation, don't anybody ever get me wrong here, eternal salvation was taken care of.
Absolutely.
That's absolute, Brother Stan, absolute. That's taken care of. More than all was taken care of before the world was ever formed. So that is absolutely what we understand. So what have we got to do this day? What have we, God's children, got to do? We have got to look to Him and follow Him. And I'm going to kind of read a little scripture here to kind of emphasize that. And let's see where I want to start. Let's see. Okay. Jesus said it's in Luke, the 9th chapter. And I'm going to go around the 51st verse. You can read above it or below it. But I do want to give time for these brothers. And my wife will tell you, I can get long-winded sometimes, so I'm going to really be careful here, not be. It came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, and steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now we're talking about Jesus here, and the time had come. But you look at the word steadfast, you know, that's the same word that should apply to your life and to my life. We need to be steadfast, looking up, steadfast. That's where we need to be in our life. And he sent messengers before him, and they went and into the village of Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. You know, think about that for a moment. He was steadfast in his mission. He was steadfast in what he had to do. You know, he was looking unto going to Jerusalem, and he had that on his mind, and they said they were going through Samaria, but yet they wouldn't receive him not. They wouldn't have anything to do with him. You know, here's a Savior knowing exactly what was going to take place, knowing exactly where he had to go, because the time had come. and he knew it. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will thou command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? You know, he said, yeah, you just call on the fire, Lord, and just burn them up, because they don't want nothing to do with you, you know. You know, he said, you know. And he turned and he rebuked them and he said, you know not what manner of spirit are you. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And he went to another village. He said, you know, I'm not here to destroy. I'm the saving God. Think about that for a moment. Think about that totally. Think about the world that we live in today. You can pick up on so much disaster, doom and gloom, and that is not of God. Jesus said, I'm not come here to destroy nothing. I come here to save. And with that, that should put the song in your heart. Realizing that our Lord and Savior came here and did exactly what He said, saved us. We have a Savior. He came and saved us. And at this point in time, He said, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, you don't understand. And a lot of times we don't understand. But I can tell you right now, we have to keep our eyes focused on Him. Because He said steadfastly, He knew exactly what He was going to do. You know, and a lot of times in our life, we've got to quit being wishy-washy. We've got to stand up for what is correct. And you know, just as that village, it's about that village right there, they wouldn't hear Him. He didn't tell them to stand there and argue with them. He said, go on, move on. But you need to tell them, you know, this is what the Word of God is. The truth. And sometimes we are ashamed to tell somebody the truth. You know, because we don't want to get in a fight, you know. We want to be peaceful. We want to be, you know, we just let it go. We want to let, you know, what's happening to the world, this country, and even the churches that we're spending too much time letting things go. And we're not being steadfast in what we believe. Because I guarantee you, old Satan is being steadfast in what he's doing. And he's going to worry you. And he's going to try to change you. You know, so we have to be diligent, is another word the Bible uses, but I like the word steadfast. Because dig your heels in, because that's what we got to do. When you believe, you believe, because you've been blessed of God to believe. When you have faith because God has given it to you. So those are the steadfast things that you need to stand on. Those are the things that you need to realize and take with you. Jesus said, the Son of Man will come destroyed. And it come to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. You know, we get that way. You know, are you up and down? I am, and I shouldn't be. I'm going to admit, you know, up and down. I get on the mountaintop. I go to the valley. I get on the mountaintop. I go to the valley. But you know, the only reason why I get up and down, because I let it happen to me. The God of heaven that I'm talking about is steadfast. It's there for you. He said, I'll follow you anywhere where thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds have air in the nest, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head down. And he said unto him, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Wow. He said, don't worry about the dead. You know? Don't worry about it. Let it bury itself, you know. What your job is to do is to go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times in our life, we let circumstances or things get in way for our service unto God.
That's right.
You know, we the people, you know, we the members, we set aside the time to worship, you know. And we do it because, you know, this is the way our forefathers done it. So at Sunday at 10:30 is our worship time. And we've been doing that for years and years and years, you know. But don't get to the point to think that that's all I got to do. Or don't let something else
get in the way of a time that you set aside to worship God. You know, we need to be steadfast in our belief, but we need to be steadfast in our actions, you know. If we all decided that, well, I don't got to go, I'm not needed. Well, yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, every member of this body is needed. There's not one that's more important than the other, but we all are needed. We all need to come together. You know, I said this one time before, I do a lot of traveling. I go to different churches, and I go to different places, and I hear a lot of things and see a lot of things. But I can tell you one thing. When you walk into a church service, and the congregation that's singing is all together, and all in harmony, and it don't matter if you like me squeak or you got a deep voice, when you're all singing in harmony, you know right then that church is in good shape. But when you go into church and this side over here is singing and this side over here is frowning, there's a division. So, you know what? The song service. I know a lot of people that go to Primitive Baptist churches that wait till the song service is over to come because they say there's nothing in it for them. You know? I'd wait till 11 o'clock, you know, because that psalm service would be over. You know, well, you know, it's all part of the worship service. It's all part of what we, you know what? The Lord our God in heaven does not need this building. The Lord God in heaven, He don't even need the air conditioning. You know, those are all the creature comforts that we want to worship God. To come out of the world and come to a place that we can be comfortable, but yet we can't take the time to be there. You know, we got everything we want. You know, Jesus was very plain in this. He said, follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go first and bid farewell, which are at my home and my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Now the word that caught me right there was fit for the kingdom of heaven. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I thought about that for a while, and it just kind of stayed with me. It stayed with me fit. What do you mean fit for the kingdom of heaven? Well, look. If you want to have a fit body, and you don't want to be pudgy like me, you got to work. You got to work out. You got to exercise. You've got to do those things. You've got to labor to work a body. It says fit for the kingdom of heaven. Well, wait, but I thought you said that the Lord took. He did, but he says he's talking about the kingdom of heaven here and now. This part on this side of the grave. You know, we have to be fit for this. We have to work at this. We have to labor at this. You know, it's a part of what we want, but it's a part of what we have been blessed with, but we need to be fit for the service. And how are we fit for the service? By doing the things and following Jesus Christ. He set the example. He said, follow me. You know, I don't care what Brother Barnabas is doing in his part time. We don't worry about that. What we need to worry about is coming here and standing together in a congregation looking unto the Jesus Christ for all our needs. When we all start looking at Jesus and we take it off of those people over yonder or that over there or what's going on last week and we start looking unto Jesus and we don't look back, you know, there's a lot of mistakes I've made in life. But I'll tell you one thing that I have realized. And it took me a while to do it. There ain't a thing I can do about what I done yesterday. You know, I made a mess of it. You know. And I can let yesterday's mess ruin today's blessing. You can let yesteryear's life ruin your day's blessing. You know, we need to look unto Jesus at all times. You know, we talked about it. The brother preached on it last night about forgiveness. Jesus Christ forgave our sins. And transgression. He did that. But yet we got to hold a grudge to the last minute. You know, we got to let things go. We've got to start looking unto God. Looking forward because I'm telling you, you need to go. I come looking for a blessing. Did you come looking for a blessing? You know, he said, if you're not fit for the kingdom of God. You know, it's a negative thing to come to church and say, I'm not going to be blessed. It's a negative thing to come and say, well, that old preacher's going to stand here and preach an hour and a half, and I ain't going to get nothing out of it. You know, those are the negatives of life that we use. We set ourselves up before we ever come. You know, I'm sure that some of my congregation at home says, I sure hope Robert preaches today, you know, and says something worthwhile. You know, that's fine with me. You know, you hope that I've got to preach something today that lifts you up. You know, at least you have an attitude that you're coming, that you're hoping to be blessed. The world today has gotten to the point that we forget about trying to be hoping to be blessed. You know, everything is negative. Everything is down. You know, our country's in turmoil. Everything's in trouble. I'm telling you right now, we have a God in heaven who has it under control. And can take care of it. So what we need to do is what God has instructed us to do. We need to look unto Him. Quit looking back at what took place 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. Quit looking at those things. Because I'm telling you, the best place you're going to be is in the house of God when the Jesus Christ is being preached to the fullest of a man that can preach it. How wonderful it is when you start realizing that God has to be in the matter for this to take place. Not only that, God has to be in the matter for a man to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but God has to be in the matter for you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're totally dependent. Brother Stan leaned over a while ago and said, do you realize how dependent we are at this very time on God for everything? We are dependent upon God. So if we're dependent upon God, we need to stand steadfast in our beliefs. I can't make anyone in this world outside this building believe. You know what? I can't even make you believe anything. That is not within my power. The only power I have is the power in Jesus Christ He's laid upon me. And hopefully and praying that for a small moment in time, He'll bless me. And I'm telling you, when you're blessed of God and you feel the hand of God. You know, how many people have felt the hand of God and realized it's God's hand laid upon them? How many times in your darkest time, in that moment when you just feel like all is lost, and the hand of God lays upon you? And all of a sudden, that rest that Jesus Christ preached about just comes over you. And your body just kind of relaxes. Your situation hasn't changed. All the things that you were sitting there drooling and worrying about, all the stuff that's out about you, but now you feel the hand of God has laid upon you and lifted you out. What a wonderful feeling. This is what I'm looking for in life. I go from one moment to the next, and I don't know if the Lord's going to bless me this afternoon. I don't know. But I'm in the frame of mind that I'm looking for it. And I'm looking unto Him. You know, the three Hebrew children, you know, when they were getting ready to throw it in the fire, King asked him, he says, I know my God can deliver us. I know He can deliver us. I don't know if He will or not, but I know He can. Apply that to your life. Apply that to your life. I know He can deliver me. I know He can bless me. I know I'm steadfast in this. Am I deserving? Absolutely not. I am absolutely not deserving. But I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, what my Lord and Savior did. One more time. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.
That's an absolute. That is what the Son of Man came to do. If you'll take that verse in that Bible right there and hang it up on your refrigerator and read it every day of your life, you'll realize how blessed you are to walk. He came, He did, He finished. And my God in heaven, over and over in this book, says, I remember your sins no more. I remember. We make mistakes. We do dumb things. We fall short of the mark. But the biggest mistake you can make is not look for the blessing of the Almighty Lord. Because they are there. They are there before you. And when you steadfast, if my people will humble themselves, call upon my name, I will heal their land. Thank you for your kind attention.
Number 10, first verse. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Elder Jamie Hancock, Lord be with you, Brother Jamie.
I want to thank the church for the kindness, for the love shown to me. I'll be headed back to the most southern point of Virginia very soon, and I'll take some good thoughts with me. The breakfast this morning was really good, and the sisters laboring, and the things that we take for granted has been a blessing. I've enjoyed the weekend. I've asked the Lord to bless me. I've asked the Lord to allow me to preach something that would edify you and build the church up and renew your hope. That's been my prayer. So I'm at this point. So we sometimes think, Lord, this preaching shouldn't be this hard all of the time. Well, if we want to be just speakers or just storytellers, that's not a problem. But if we realize who sent us and the wonderful gift that He's given His preaching brethren, and it does more than just makes us happy, it renews our hope. It makes Jesus manifest in our life.
Amen.
David says in Psalm 139, Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Do you know we can know Jesus? He's not just something way out there. We can know Him in a real way. And this book is all about Him. Psalm 42 has come to my mind today. I've went all over the place with prayer, and this is a wonderful psalm that will draw our attention to all of us one way or another. The psalmist writes here, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And this question is asked. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The scene here to me, is an animal that has ran from the predator, from the hunter. He has wore his energy out. He's come to a stream. He needs relief. He don't have anywhere else to go. Can anybody relate to that?
Yeah.
And we ask ourselves this question. When will I appear before God? When is the relief going to come to me? We have a bird feeder outside the window and all types of birds, squirrels. And I often notice them when they eat, they take a bite and they're looking around. They take a bite and they're always looking around because danger is always present in their life. Did you know that your Lord's house is not just a place to come? It's a matter of survival. I said it last night and I'll say it again. It's a place to hear the Lord's. It's a place of answers. It's a place to know Jesus. It's a place to hear it proclaimed. And if the Lord blesses the man to preach, you can feel it in your heart and you won't forget it. So the psalmist here is asking as he pants in this troublesome world as we often do. I thought about the deer. It broke my heart when I heard the news, Brother Jonathan, about that deer family. This is a situation that nothing is going to help other than the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, the words, the gifts, the visitations is going to really go. But these dear children, as you will also can testify of times in your life, and if it hasn't happened, it probably will. It comes a time, maybe the middle of the night, when you're just like that deer at the water's edge, just trying to get a little relief and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. So there's more than just motivational speakers. They're more than just feel-good books. There's a real hope of security, and it's written down here in this book. You know, Job had it right. Job said on one occasion, Nehemiah, in the 8th chapter of Nehemiah, they said, then he said in the 10th verse to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be you sorrow. You know, I don't know this family, Brother Jonathan, but I've sat in the emergency room with Sister Debbie Hawker last year, 48 years old, a strong, young, strong nurse that worked at the prison, a wonderful member of Old Mill Church, and she's happy one Sunday. She's fixing apple pies for the meeting, and she's laying in the hospital dead that Friday night. I know that this world can get hopeless, and I know that we've got all kinds of media telling us how to feel good. Well, I'm telling you, Nehemiah had a bad problem. Oh, King, let me go and build the walls. Let me go back. Let me just work. Let me build for God and not tear down. And Nehemiah says, go, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be you sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes.
Well, how do we know about it? Right here.
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 2, they ask the evil men, says, tell us where he's born, and we want to go worship him. And they simply told them, you know this has been written by the prophets where he's going to be born. It was written down. In Matthew chapter 4, when the devil there is there on the mount with Jesus Christ, he asked him this, turn these stones into bread or cast thyself down. Jesus says, as it is written. So there's a word here that's more than just something pretty laying around on the table. It will build our hope and our life because the Lord is our strength. And you know you can know Him. Have you ever had a friend that you didn't know? Well, the Scriptures tell us that Jesus is a friend of sinners. Well, how do we know Him? Well, this is a good start on the Sabbath day. This is a good start. The Lord is our strength. Now, the Lord is our strength whether we realize it or not. Brother Jonathan, you're going to labor with this family, and they're going to have a tough life. And the Lord will help them, and the Lord will deal with them. But we can go to these words and maybe we can hear preach stuff not only that's preached, not only good thoughts, but stuff that is written down. Job says, oh, that my words were now written. What do you want us to remember, Job? Job was, they say, one of the oldest texts in the Bible. That's what learned men say. I don't know. What would you want to be written down for us to learn, for us to be able to read with our eyes, generation after generation after generation? What would you have us to know? Job says in Job chapter 19, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." Don't you see? We've got a printed book that we haven't always had.
That's right.
We've got social media so much. Lord, have mercy. And you know, Papa, this. I said, Benjamin, just because you read it on Facebook, don't make it true. And I said, take the devil out of your pocket and pick up this book.
Amen.
Papa, nothing. It's more words in here than we can. It will help prepare us for the very situations that we may face.
Amen.
I could get the same calm my grandchildren or my children before I get home. Something has taken them. Lord, what can I fall back on? The strength of the Lord is the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that's all the strength. And I want to realize it. I want to realize it. I love my father and my daddy and mama. And I wanted, and I knew them and loved them. And they loved me. And they would have been my mother and father whether I knew them or not. What do you want? What would you want, Job? All the stories, all of the great thing of Job. What would you want wrote down, Job? That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. Okay, Job. Quit holding. What do you want us to be wrote down? And maybe centuries, thousands of years, we can pick it up and read it. For I know. Have you heard this too much?
No.
Preach on.
Job says, I wish this could be written down with a pen that can never be erased. So in the times of our life, like with that heart, that deer at the brook, we just want a little fresh water. We just want a little relief from this life. We need something to hold. We need some joy. Well, our joy, the strength of the Lord is our joy. But you know what? He's our joy, whether we know about it or not. Job, well, I know my Redeemer liveth. The word redeems means to buy back with payment that belongs to you previously.
That's right.
That means you don't go down to the pawn shop. I'll have my shotgun back. The man will say, okay, where's your payment? I don't want to pay anything. It belonged to me, so I want it back. That's not what redeem means. Job says, for I know my Redeemer liveth. David says in Psalm 139, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. I need a God that I know knows me way more than I know him.
Amen.
These things are written for our learning to build our hope. Oh, the words. The Lord wrote the Ten Commandments with His own finger in the stone and they pinned down and the prophets and the scribes, they wrote these words over and over and over and over again, the laws of God, so we can be reminded how great He is. Well, I know my Redeemer liveth, and they shall stand the latter day upon the earth. This is just foolishness, folks would say. I'll repeat, it's about as foolish to me as nuclear energy. When I was 15, the Beatles, some of y'all don't remember, we were Beatle crazed. I had a haircut. I've got a little picture at home. I played drums, and we were just the greatest thing at this skating rink on Saturday night. Sometimes we almost paid enough to get back home. It was a wonderful thing. But one night we was practicing and it started to rain. I turned the garage and one of my buddies just plugged up the amplifier. So we had one of those old lights that had a light in it. You know what I'm talking about? Well, the light wasn't in it. There was something there that the unknown eye couldn't see, and I found that real quick. I couldn't see it, but it sure was real. I sucked my finger and thought, what in the world was that? It's electricity. It can't be real. You can't see it. How can it be real? But when I tell people, when people say, that's the old Jesus, we can't see that. Yeah, you may be too wise and prudent. The Lord won't show it to you. But I found out real quickly, it's very little that I understand that I still believe in. Absolutely. Job said, my words were now written, or that they were printed in a book, or that they were graven with the iron pen. You know what? In the Hebrew letter, the Lord says there that I will write my law in their mind and in their hearts. The Lord could have done all that without the written word, but we're so blessed to have it. And that will strengthen our joy. It will build our faith. Just as my new granddaughter has grown from just a little bitty baby. She's now 7 months old. The same muscles she's born with will not develop if you don't use them. When the Lord puts faith in your heart at the new birth, we are to work it out. We are to develop it. And we are to build our faith. And this is the first thing that the first privilege we have. To learn about the joy. I know my Redeemer liveth and shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Well, some say he did, some say he didn't. I believe he did. And you know what? You know what I'm the most thankful for? That he's a friend of sinners.
Amen.
And I know him. Time is it, Gary? And don't tell me you ain't got no watch. I want to hear stand. I don't have any with me. Gary?
I love you, Brother Jim.
I love you too. John chapter 17 that I've quoted so much. All that thou hast given eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal that they may know thee. Right, Jonathan? We can know him.
Absolutely.
We can know him. And his word is written. It's written. Now I know preaching is the greatest benefit, but all Job is saying here that we can know. I want to know him. The more I read about him, the more I pray to him, the more I hang around his children, the better I know him. Because who knows if I'll be the heart at the brook, just needing some relief. Y'all know, Stan, you probably don't understand, do you? The troubles naturally you've been through with and all the trials of preaching, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we just need some relief. That's when we need to know him. It's life. Life. John chapter 20, verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written.
Right.
Here it is. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That's not talking about believing and going to heaven. It means a life of joy. It means a life, Jonathan, that you can tell this young family, listen, there's a life that you can walk with the Lord through this trial, through this trouble, even though your husband, your daddy is gone. There's still a life out here that the world knows nothing about, and it's called the kingdom of God. And through troubles and trials and tribulations, we enter into it, and we walk into it, and we learn about it, and we sing about him, and there's life in that. This is a whole life. The church, since I was 9 years old, it has influenced my life more than anything.
Amen.
In my life. So, John is saying here that there's things written that we need to understand, that believing through him is life. He's not talking about I'm going to torment, I believe, now I'm going to heaven. He's talking about a life of peace and joy when these times of trouble come. Oh, that. Tell us, Job. For I know my Redeemer liveth. The latter days to stand upon the earth. And though the skin worms, I'll just try it. I won't go back to it. Oh, there it is. Hope the Lord calls y'all to preach one day. Y'all understand what we're going through. I love y'all like Clyde do. But I'm telling you, the Lord is, yes, the Lord is my refuge. He's my hiding place. And though after my skin worm destroy this flesh, you young folks, you don't understand this. And it's not a bad thing. But I'm telling you, look at your baby pictures and you'll see real quick you're growing older. Yet in my flesh shall I see God.
Amen.
You know what happened when that young man took his life? He saw God.
Amen.
I don't know it, but what I've heard of the of the desire, we can get in bad things. Samson did. The skin worms. Why is that? Because the Lord knew him. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins are consumed within me. Oh my goodness. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul searcheth for God, for the living God, when I shall come and appear before God. It's going to be a lot of people that thinks they've got it figured out. It's going to have a rude awakening coming. My tears have been my meat night and day, while they continue to say unto me, where is thy God? Here it is. I close with this. When I remember these things, there's times we need to remember things and apply it in the right way. I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day.
Yes.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Is my prayer. Pray for me, and I will for you. May the Lord grant you a prosperous journey home and a good prosperous week. God bless you.
Bless your heart.